our clerk to call the first case.
The court will now call Mustang Park Owners Association and Legacy Southwest Property Management versus Christopher Lumley. May it please the court, Mr. Adam Yu will argue for the appellant, and Mr. Dr. Snow will argue for the appellate.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, Honorable Justice Birdwell, Justice Kerr, and Justice Walker, respected members of the court's staff. My name is Adam Pugh, and I represent Mustang Park Owners Association, Inc., and Legacy Southwest Property Management, LLC. Mustang Park was found liable for damages caused by what the trial court found was a poorly designed drainage system when the damages were all incurred prior to the date the association had any obligation to maintain the property. The plaintiff sued for breach of contract under the Declaration of Covenants, Conditions, and Restrictions for this homeowners association, and very specifically section 3.02 of that document states that the association is liable for maintenance of the common areas only after there's been a dedication to the city of Carrollton or a deed to the association. And that deed, importantly, wasn't filed until the pendency of this lawsuit in 2021, after the plaintiff had filed their lawsuit and stated all of the damages which had incurred.
So who would Mr. Lumley have sued to get relief?
Prior to the deed to the city of Carrollton, the owner of the property was still the declarant. And so the declarant, who he did sue in this case, would have been the proper party to sue at that time. The declarant was a party in this case, and he sued that declarant and settled prior to trial. So that theory of liability with respect to a construction defect, to the poor design of the drainage system, those claims were made and could have been made and resolved against the declarant, who was the proper party. The drainage system was designed and built by the declarant, who has been sued by the plaintiff and subsequently dismissed. The Declaration of Covenants, Conditions, and Restrictions for the neighborhood forms the basis of the relationship between these parties and is the document upon which plaintiff sues. It contains several express disclaimers of liability, which were ignored by the trial court.
Counsel, it's true that you did not respond to request for disclosure. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct, Your Honor.
Okay, and the request for disclosure requires that you identify your defensive theories with regard to any defense that you're going to present with regard to the claims that are made against you. Is that correct?
Of course.
And because you did not respond, you did not identify any defensive theories, and that would, of course, have included the contract defenses that you are arguing before us. But you were told not to put on any evidence, and you were kept from doing any evidence with regard to those contract defenses. Is that correct?
No, the trial court allowed for evidence of the contract and the contractual defenses, because those were pled in the original answer and subsequently amended answers.
Okay, but no evidence with regard to that other than those particular documents. But you also didn't produce those documents in response to the request for disclosure.
The documents were the declaration itself, which has been admitted as evidence. It was joint exhibit number one in the trial court, and it was the document, the very document that was sued upon by the plaintiff, contains the contractual releases and waivers which were relied upon by the defendants in this cause.
Okay, so my question is, one of the conclusions of law of Judge Shipman was that none of those defenses actually applied here. Why are we not to consider that ruling and that conclusion of law to be relating back to the discovery sanction of excluding the evidence and arguably excluding those defenses with regard to your failure to answer the discovery?
Because the only document that's been sued upon is the same document that relief was granted on by the trial court and contains the specific exceptions to liability, waivers of liability, and protections for the association and the declarant, which existed in the declaration prior to the purchase of the property by the plaintiff, and which the plaintiff was on constructive notice of prior to filing the lawsuit. And so any prohibition against additional evidence was certainly upheld by the trial court, and no additional evidence was admitted, but the contract itself was admitted. And so the contract is in evidence, those waivers are in evidence, and those specific limitations of liability are contained within the very document upon which plaintiff sues. Now, with respect to Legacy Southwest Property Management, which I also represent, they were found liable solely based on the finding that Legacy was engaged as the association's managing agent. There's no other finding. It's black letter law that agents are not liable for acts or omissions of their principals unless there is some other applicable theory of recovery, and no such theory of recovery was pled or found by the trial court. There's just simply nothing that attaches Legacy Southwest Property Management LLC to the acts or omissions of its principal. And for that reason alone, the judgment against Legacy should be vacated.
Now, you are arguing that because there was no deed to the city of Carrollton, that anything before the actual deed didn't trigger any obligation on the part of the association, and therefore Legacy as the association's property manager to do anything about the drainage issues. Is that your argument?
That's part of the argument, that there can't be a duty to maintain under the declaration, which is the only document sued upon, until such a deed has occurred.
But yes. There doesn't have to be an actual conveyance to the city. There can be simply a dedication to the city. Why do the notes that are in the declaration as filed with the county, Denton County, why do those notes and dedications in the declarations and the supplemental declarations not constitute a dedication to the city that would trigger the association's responsibility?
Well, what we assert is that the plat and the declaration are part of a common scheme, and the plat is evidence of the plan and the scheme for the property to be dedicated to the city. But while the declarant continued to own it, the dedication was not yet complete.
So who was collecting the fees for the common areas? Was the declarant collecting the fees for the common areas, or was the association collecting the fees for the common areas?
Well, for some period of time prior to the deed, the declarant on behalf of the association collected those dues. But for all times relevant with respect to this case, the association was collecting those dues.
And that was before the conveyance by the deed?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, with respect to the declaration, the first section that I would highlight for the court is section 2.10, titled appropriately Drainage. And it reads simply that neither the developer nor the association shall be liable to maintain, repair, or restore grading or drainage on or serving any lot. These words are found in the very contract sued upon by the plaintiff. Yet this is exactly what the trial court ordered the association to do. In fact, in conclusion of law number 5, it states that failing to maintain the drainage was the sole cause of plaintiff's damages.
Is on or serving, particularly serving, defined in the declarations or the supplemental declaration?
I don't believe that it is. I think we just have the plain meaning of those words.
Okay. What evidence was adduced at trial with regard to what it meant to be serving a particular lot?
Other than the declaration itself, I'm not sure I could point the court to any particular piece of evidence which would define that term.
Okay. The reason I'm asking that question is because immediately before the limiting language, and this is also with regard to the other limiting language that you guys are citing, there's a specific statement that the association and or the declarant has the right to do the very thing they can't be liable for. Okay. So it appears to be inconsistent internally, but it would be consistent if it simply is saying that once the owner takes over a particular lot, in this instance lot 44 by Mr. Lumley, that the owner becomes responsible for the drainage at that point in time, and therefore why should we not look at that and say that what's referred to there in terms of the limitations basically is an exclusion of any liability with regard to water sources on the property, as opposed to Lot 4X, which is the green belt, and where that was coming from, the water coming from the green belt onto Lot 44. So you don't have any liability with regard to any of the actual drainage on Lot 44, but Mr. Lumley obviously can't do any regrading on Lot 4X.
Certainly, but he could mitigate the common enemy of groundwater drainage by building, for instance, French drains, berms, ditches. The common theme of the neighborhood is that everyone treats runoff as a common enemy and is responsible for protecting their own property from such runoff. And so we believe that this disjunctive statement.
Then what was the purpose of doing the drainage system in the green belt to begin with if everybody on each one of those residential lots was just going to be responsible for whatever water happened to show up?
Well, it's certainly part of a macro plan for the entire community. I won't get into the reason HOAs exist, being the Clean Water Act of 1974. I think that's probably outside of the arguments necessary for today. But a declarant is permitted to set up this scheme any way that they choose. And when you create a declaration which limits the liability of the association only to the regular and ongoing maintenance of the drainage facilities that are already constructed, what this all presupposed was that the drainage facilities would be built in accordance with a proper engineering design, proper plans, permitting, oversight by the city, and then once it was in place and functional, then the association would take over the regular maintenance, mowing the embankments, cleaning out the culverts, the periodic maintenance checks, but not a complete redesign, reconstruction, and re-engineering of a project that was created by the declarant, who again, as I'll say again, was a defendant in this case. And so the problem here is that the term maintain, it can't mean redesign, re-engineer, and reconstruct. It must mean that it's an ongoing, regular type of maintenance for which the association could be responsible, not a complete redesign.
So the results of the maintenance don't really matter. So if it is in fact flooding his property, it doesn't. As long as the grass is getting cut, that's okay.
Well,
and that was a mean question, but
the answer is yes.
That's kind of the question,
Justice Birdwell. The answer is yes. According to the declaration, the declarant made it impossible to claim damages or a reconstruction of these facilities by the association. The declarant was responsible for the original proper engineering and design of the drainage facilities. And that's the proper party who's responsible for these construction defects. The expert witness in the case, the only one that testified and was brought by the plaintiff, testified that the defect was an original design defect and that it was a structural problem that could only be ameliorated by a complete redesign and a re-engineering and a reconstruction. Now, moving on to section 3.02 of the declaration, it states that only after the common areas are dedicated to the city would the association be liable for maintenance. Yet the trial court awarded monetary relief for a period prior to the deed from the developer to the city of Carrollton. Section 3.04, I would highlight, it states that the association shall have no obligation to repair improvements installed in easement areas. This is precisely what this drainage lot was. And now the testimony of the plaintiff's expert was not that the association failed to maintain the drainage facility. That's simply not in the record. There's no evidence that the association failed to maintain anything. There is not a single act or omission that was put forth by the expert engineer.
So the pictures of the flooding is not sufficient to show that the drainage off of Lot 4X and 2X was insufficient. That in and of itself.
No, I don't think we have like a res ipsa loquitur, or kind of an argument that that just because it's flooding, therefore the maintenance hasn't occurred. I think the pictures of the flooding indicate the structural poor design of the initial design, and there's just no testimony that there was anything that the association could have done or not or didn't do that would have made the drainage facility work properly.
Okay, so based, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, time's up.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, we're trying to stay on time this morning for everybody. Sorry,
she didn't bring my shock collar this morning, so.
We'll now hear from the appellee.
May it please the court. As I see it, this judgment really involves two primary things that the appellants are complaining about. A specific performance component requiring the association to install a new drainage system on this green belt. And then two, a component for damages that various provisions of the contract they are relying on to say were impermissible. I don't think the trial court got it wrong, and let me explain why. The duty to maintain under the contract language occurs whenever there's a conveyance or dedication. And their position is the duty did not arise until, I think, March of 2021, when the developer by deed conveyed the lots making up the green belt to the city. But conveyance or dedications, they don't deal with dedication. There's nothing in the contract, there's nothing in anything in the record that says that dedication must be by deed. And of course the law is that dedication is a setting aside of public property, doesn't require a conveyance by deed, and is often a question of fact. And there are plenty of facts in the record that would support a finding that the dedication to the city of this property occurred well before March of 2021. You've got the plats that were filed. We're not relying alone on the plats. The plats were filed in 2013 and 2014.
Is that the notes that I was talking about a little bit in terms of specifically 4X was supposed to be a lot, 4X was supposed to be an open lot dedicated to the city of Carrollton?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. It wasn't an actual conveyance, but the platting of the original declaration and of supplemental declaration, both of them specifically said lot 4X is set aside with regard to an open matter, open lot, and that's going to be something that will ultimately come under the jurisdiction of the city.
That's right. On the plat itself, there's a note on the portion of the plat that identifies this lot. It says to be dedicated in one sentence. In one of the plats, it says to be dedicated to the city and maintained by the HOA. In another of the plats, it says dedicated to the city and maintained by the HOA.
Okay. Do you have any case law from any court, including this one, that says that type of note in a declaration filed in the county deed records is sufficient to constitute a dedication in compliance with the declaration itself?
I don't know of any case that says that. I'm actually not sure.
So are we being asked to find that as in order to support Judge Shipman's ruling here? Kind of the first time we get to do that.
Sure. My understanding of the law, what I found, is dedication, approval of a plat by itself, standing by itself, isn't sufficient to complete a dedication. We're not relying only on the plats. The plats have a dedication statement. They're in present tense. It shows a clear intent of the declarant to dedicate this property. What you have following that is a second dedication, and you have conduct from the early days after those dedications.
Okay, so there is authority to the contrary of your position, which says that the mere notes of themselves do not constitute a dedication under Texas law, but you're relying on other conduct in combination with those notes. In other words, it's evidence of intent, but this isn't just simply intent. Dedication is an actual verb as it's used in the declaration here.
Right. I think our position would be, no, we're not just relying on the plat, but it is part of the evidence that the trial court heard in a sequence of facts that are, one, the dedication on the plats. Two, you have the HOA, as early as 2015, started collecting assessments for the specific purpose of maintaining that particular part of the property. They actually did maintain that property from 2015 on.
And that was before the conveyance, correct?
Right.
And that was the association collecting those fees.
Right.
Well, can I go back to one of the points that the appellant was making, which is there's a difference between maintenance and re-engineering something that was already put into place. Can you speak to that?
Sure. I'm kind of relying on the dictionary definition. I think I recognize this as potentially a problem. But the duty of the association is to maintain not just the drainage system on the greenbelt, but the greenbelt itself. And I don't think the appellants have ever dealt with any of the evidence that's actually in the record or any of the findings. The testimony of the expert in this case was that the cause of the drainage overflow on my client's property, it was solely caused by flows from the originating on the greenbelt from an east to west direction. His testimony is what happens is because there's not sufficient drainage offshoots, for lack of a better word, that water gains velocity. And he calls it erosive velocity. And so what happens is by the time the water flows down towards my client's property, you get erosion of the greenbelt itself. And he testified that when he went out and inspected, he found erosion on the greenbelt, and he found erosion specifically around other structures that were supporting the drainage on the greenbelt. And his testimony was, if this isn't addressed, that erosion is going to continue, and it's going to cause the drainage infrastructure to fail. And so I think that the record supports a finding that the drainage system itself is leading to erosion of the greenbelt. And the definition of erosion is to waste away of the surface. And so the maintenance duty, if you just apply the dictionary definition of keeping in an existing state of repair, they're not doing that. It's by not doing anything, the erosion on the greenbelt is continuing, and it's wasting away the property. And so I don't think it's outside the scope of what maintain means. There's also further in 3.02, actually I'd like to read it because I think it's... speaks to, it has actually four sentences in it, and the appellants have focused mostly on the first one, which is the word maintain. The duty to maintain arises after this event. And you look at the last sentence, though, and their construction of maintain is just regular maintenance, mowing, making sure we've got all the landscaping done properly.
Is that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but is maintain any sort of term of art in the HOA world?
I couldn't find anything that said that.
Okay.
And I read through, I'm glutton for punishment, so I read through all of these declarations, all 44 pages. It uses maintain and maintenance a lot throughout. There's no definition. And I'm aware that courts often apply dictionary definition in that circumstance. But I would say the context of this provision contemplates more than regular routine maintenance of mowing or whatever routine maintenance means, because the very last sentence provides, in order to provide for extraordinary and unanticipated items regarding the maintenance obligations contained herein, and it says you must set aside a certain amount of money for a maintenance fund. And the maintenance fund that it's referring to there cannot refer to routine maintenance. It's specifically set up specifically for extraordinary and unanticipated items of maintenance. And so I don't think it's consistent with this provision to say that maintain in this circumstance can only really mean cleaning out the property or mowing. I think this provision contemplated unanticipated items of maintenance. And if you have a wasting away of the greenbelt, there's no way that you can be adequately maintaining it.
Okay, so I'm interested in how this case got tried, but before that, you heard the argument that essentially that any issue with regard to the flooding on lot 44 deals with the design, okay? And the original design, which is completely attributable to the declarant, okay? And therefore, their only duty was to maintain effectively the defective design, okay, in all of its defectiveness. So the question is did you find any case law that says that transfers what would be an ordinary understanding of the word maintenance or maintain that would deal with original defects that would include, that would be incorporated into maintain? In other words, if the person responsible for maintaining determines that what they're maintaining is defective, do they have a duty ordinarily under the contract to do something about the defect?
I didn't find any cases on that. I think it's in the ordinary understanding of what it would mean
okay.
in this context.
Second question. Back to the discovery issue. What was the specific ruling from Judge Shipman vis-a-vis the sanction of with regard to the failure to answer the request for disclosure? Did she simply just exclude any evidence with regard to contract defenses, or did she make any ruling with regard to those defenses would not be available because you didn't disclose what those defenses were in response to request for disclosure?
My recollection is she excluded all evidence save for certain things. They pled that some of the things that they referred to today, the contractual provisions, were not pleaded in their answer. I think they only pleaded I'll get to that. I do think that Judge Shipman allowed what she called contract defenses, what I would understand from the context to mean the specific defenses that they raised in their answer. But she excluded all evidence except for they introduced the deeds of the Greenbelt, of the March 2021 deeds.
So it's your understanding, although she could have said you may not assert these defenses because you didn't identify them as defenses in your request for disclosure responses, but it's your understanding based upon your memory of the record that she did not do that specifically.
I think she excluded everything except the contractual, because they actually had comparative responsibility pled. So she excluded everything except the contractual defenses, as I understand my reading of the record.
Okay.
So in fairness, I think that she did allow them to argue based on the contractual, but I would still say it's limited to the three that they pleaded in their affirmative answer, or their answer. And so that would be my understanding of what, it was a little confusing, but I think that's what happened.
Okay, I'm gonna go back to the or serving language, okay? Any idea what that actually means? Because or serving the drainage from lot 4X would be serving lot 44, would it not? And if that's the case, then the liability limitations would appear to apply under those circumstances.
I didn't see any cases on that. I don't understand serving a lot. I didn't read it to encompass what the record shows is happening here. It's just,
well, what's confusing about this is, on the one hand, at the very beginning of each of these provisions that they're citing, they say the association has the right to do X, and then the very next thing is, or has all the authority to do X, including the drainage. But then immediately after that, it says, but they're not liable to do X. So they have the authority to do it, but if they don't do it, or if they have a responsibility to do it, there's no liability for it, period, which effectively renders the authority / right to do something or obligation to do something meaningless. And part of that is with regard to on or serving, drainage on or serving a lot, a residential lot.
Yeah, so I think the interesting thing to me about 2.210A and B is they can't both be doing the same thing. And the appellants claim that both 2.10A and 2.10B are damages, which I think this is what we're talking about here, the damages that were awarded. And there's evidence in the record, let's just start with this. The damages that were, there was lots of testimony about the damages my client saw.
How much for each crawfish? That's the question that's before this court right now.
I think he did testify. Some of the testimony that was elicited, I think, is not probative of anything because it was asking, them to make legal conclusions about what his damages were instead of questions of fact. But what I identified in the record was there's at least $8,000 in damages for the expert report that he got related to the cause of the drainage problems that were on the Greenbelt. The Greenbelt's expressly excluded under these declarations as being a lot. Its common areas are not lots, if you read the definition of lot. And so I didn't think those damages would be barred. And then the other testimony is he's got $25,000 or so in damages to replace grass. Okay, so the next part of it is to look at, okay, these provisions, is replacing grass on your property grading or drainage? I find it hard to think that it would be, because if that was the case, then you wouldn't need to have 2.10b in here, which expressly...
But part of the limitation they're relying on, to their credit, it specifically says shrubbery, and I'm not going to get into the Monty Python reference here, but so it specifically talks about plants on the residential lots are not something that they're responsible for. So how is it possible for there to be responsible for the grass?
And I think grass is actually mentioned. To be fair, if you look at these provisions, the 2.10a talks about the declarant or the association shall not be responsible for grading or drainage. It changes the language in 2.10b to declarant or declarant successors shall not be responsible for the damages for the grass. So their position has to be they're either a successor of the declarant or an assign of the declarant. Now, under these restrictions, an assignment means a formal filed assignment. That's very clear. So they're hanging their hat on declarant successor. It never, these restrictions never refer to the association of declarant successor. I went through it about 180 some times. It refers to Mustang Park as the association. If it wants to refer to the association, if it wants to protect the association, it specifically says the word association. And so my understanding of 2.10a and 2.10b, when you read them in combination, is, okay, the association and the declarant is not responsible for drainage or grading on a lot. But when you get to damages for drainage, it did not extend that protection to the association. And it makes sense. Why should the association not be responsible for damages caused by the property that it is in control of or that it's got a duty to maintain? And so I think 2.10b is the most difficult part of the damages question for my client, and I think the way to reconcile the two provisions is that the association just doesn't extend to the association. We couldn't sue the developer for damages, but we certainly can sue the association, because it's presumed that the decision not to name the association in the very next provision was intentional. And I wanted to go to one other point that I discovered when I was preparing for this argument, which is they have one issue complaining about the judgment's insufficiently definite. And we addressed the substance of that argument in our brief. But I came across I think they have a preservation problem that we did not mention in our brief, because I did not know this until researching. And there's a case from the Beaumont Court of Appeals called A.M. Barber Corp. v. Moregel that says insufficient definiteness raises avoidable error. And of course, this court has said avoidable error has to be preserved with a complaint in the trial court. And this just was never raised in the trial court. The trial court was never given an opportunity to address potential definiteness issues with this judgment.
What's the citation of that Beaumont case?
It's 2006, Westlaw. 2006 WL 250-6417.
Thank you.
So on that one, I think I certainly would rely on our substantive argument as well, but I think that just because we didn't mention our brief, I think they have a preservation problem, and I think even though we didn't raise it in our brief, I believe the court should look at the reservation or preservation issue on its own. I see my time is winding down. And so if there's no other questions, I'd certainly
I have one last one real quick. You just stated just a second ago that there's a presumption that if the association was intentionally left out of the damages provision, it sounded like you were going to the kind of the construction argument that we have to assume then that they were intentionally not supposed to incur, or that they were to actually potentially be liable for damages. Do you have authority for that? I understand, you know, in the statutory context that there's case law on that. What about for these particular types of instruments?
Well, I think my argument was a little bit different than that. It wasn't so much that they're presumed to be liable. I think this is a provision that extends specific protections against liability, and but it's expressly extended to the original developer. And so it's an affirmative defense they're raising. We are protected from liability because of this provision. And so my argument is, well, that provision just doesn't apply to you, so you haven't met your burden on your affirmative defense.
Got it.
Thank you, counsel. Time is up. We'll hear rebuttal.
Thank you. I think counsel and I agree that either of us couldn't find any case law which would tell us what the term maintain means. Maybe it's time for some. Even if the date of the part of the plat was the date of the dedication of this property to the city, and therefore that's the date when the association, the duty to maintain the common area sprang to life for the association, all of the contractual limitations would still exist. So it's probably not all that important when that date occurred. But I would simply submit that why then in 2021, during the pendency of this lawsuit, was the deed filed? If the deed was unnecessary to complete the dedication, then why was it filed?
Lumley wasn't responsible for filing the deed, was he? That would have been the conveyance by the declarant.
Sure, but
after getting sued by Mr. Lumley.
Right. And so it's the declarant's obligation to file the deed, which completes the dedication and brings to life the duty to maintain those areas found in the declaration.
Well, then we have a judgment for specific performance going forward, and that would implicate the association, would it not?
It would.
Okay, so you've got a judgment for specific performance under a contract going forward, and that specific performance is outlined in both the judgment and the findings of fact and conclusions of law as to what drains have to be done, et cetera, et cetera. And that's directed toward y'all because that's who is responsible for lot X and lot 4X and lot 2X going forward. And that would ameliorate the drainage onto lot 44, would it not?
It certainly would. And it flies in the face of the specific limitations in the declaration, which say that neither the declarant nor the association shall be liable to rebuild or reconstruct drainage or grading.
Okay, so basically Judge Shipman had the same question I had, which is, then why does the declaration, why do all these limitations that you're saying, immediately before these limitations, either impose a duty that is therefore unenforceable because of these limitations, or authorize the things that, you know, to be done? You're taking fees, et cetera, and that was one of the questions, I think it was quoted in opposing counsel's brief. She's basically saying, so basically you've been taking all these fees over this period of time and you have no obligation to do anything with those fees, and is that your position still? It was in the trial court.
Well, it's not that there's no obligation. The association certainly has the right, but not the obligation, to undertake those duties. And these HOAs are little bitty democracies. They elect a board of directors to act in their discretion and decide how to spend the community's funds.
Okay, so then my question becomes, what are we to do with the fact that the association did attempt to make some modifications to the drainage at some point in time? They assumed a duty that you say you don't contractually have. Why should that not be some evidence that in fact you do think you have the duty, and that the limitations don't prevent it?
I think that the association certainly believed that they were responsible for the maintenance of that property. And I think getting into
We're not talking about mowing some grass. We're talking about actual modifications that were made in an attempt to ameliorate the drainage.
Sure, they built a retaining wall. They did a couple of other little things. And I think in the world of HOA management and maintenance, those types of limited modifications fall within the realm of maintenance. But a complete redesign, a complete reengineering, and a complete reconstruction would not. And that's the line I think that we have to draw, is that they might overstep what the strict definition of maintenance would be in an attempt to mitigate one of their members' problems. But that doesn't then impose a duty to continue to do that and to take further action and to continue to work until the entire problem is resolved, just because they choose, based on the right that Your Honor has indicated, to go onto that property and to make those changes. It's the right, but not the obligation. This is the way the declarant set it up. The board has the discretion to determine how to try to juggle these issues and come up with a response.
Let me ask you in your 16 seconds remaining, sorry. So extraordinary and unanticipated items regarding maintenance, would you say that that's stuff like the retaining wall that was put up? I mean, what's your understanding of that phrase?
The phrase still continues to modify the word maintenance. So it's still whatever maintenance would be. I would assert that extraordinary and unanticipated simply means unscheduled. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. All right. Thank you very much for the argument. Your case is submitted.